And man, oh man, this is just crazy stuff. Our featured story, we're talking all about the total capitulation by the Trump administration on immigration. And I don't even really know how to start this one, because I feel like I've been saying the same exact thing for 2 years, and I literally have. If you've been watching the show for 2 years, you know exactly what I'm going to say. I've been saying it every day for 2 years, which is that you're not getting mass deportations. You are never going to get mass deportations. You never will get mass deportations. And I told you exactly why, and I told you exactly how that was going to play out. And now we're just watching it unfold in real time. So as you know, at the end of 2025, the Trump administration sent ICE and the National Guard into Minneapolis. And they have been doing this. They have been deploying a lot of immigration resources to cities. You had Midway Blitz in Chicago. You had Operation in LA before that. And so this was supposed to be another deployment of ICE and the National Guard, which has been escalating. There's been an increasing amount of tension, and it's become very contentious and very violent. We saw that with the LA riots in June of last year. We saw that with some of the resistance in Chicago in the fall and early in the winter of last year. And so ICE and National Guard go up to Minneapolis, and they're encountering this stiff resistance from local organizers, big protests. And it looks like a coordinated cell of progressive activists that are doxing and stalking and intimidating ICE agents who are trying to arrest people. And as you know, this culminated in the death of Renee Good and then Alex Preti. And there were all these calls then from activists and protesters and the municipal and state government and national figures, cultural figures, to back off, to get ICE to have some accountability, for there to be new restrictions and stuff like that to be implemented. And I remember this conversation in January. There were so many people on the internet telling us that Trump was not backing down. It was very obvious how that was all playing out. We all sort of knew, basically, the moment that Renee Good got shot, where all of this was headed, which is to say that she's going to get shot. The media is literally going to cry bloody murder. They're going to do wall-to-wall coverage. You're going to get the propaganda that ICE are like the Nazis, that ICE is gunning down citizens in the streets. And what is that going to do? It is going to embolden and encourage the agitators. So you were going to get protesters an autonomous zone and all that other stuff. And knowing the Trump administration, he was going to back down for the very simple reason that we are in a midterm election year. So Trump can't afford for the bottom to fall out with his popularity, because they only have a few seats in the House that give them the majority. Historically, they're going to lose seats. They really need all the help they can get. So you knew that Trump was not going to stick it out. Like, so much of this was predictable the second that Renee Good got shot. And I remember in January, all of the Trump supporters on Twitter were reassuring us, no, that's not happening. It's actually intensifying. Actually, Trump is a genius, and he worked out a deal. He called the mayor and the governor, and by even having that call, he made them out to be traitors to their own movement, and he got them to cooperate with the feds, and it's a five-dimensional chess play. It's all great. It's all going according to plan. I remember they were seriously saying this in January. Well, now, as of last night, it is just undeniable and unambiguous that that is not the case, that Trump is absolutely surrendering and capitulating on mass deportations. How do we know this? Because he said it. He said it in an interview with NBC last night. He said that ICE needs a softer touch. when asked directly, are we going to continue deporting all illegals or will we now focus only on criminals? He said, we're only focusing on criminals. That's it. This is a story. This is from BBC. We're going to read through it. It says, quote, President Trump has said immigration agents could use a softer touch as his administration began pulling about a quarter of its force out of Minnesota. He said to NBC News, quote, I learned that maybe we could use a little bit of a softer touch, but you still have to be tough. U.S. Border Czar Tom Holman said earlier, 700 federal immigration agents would be withdrawn from the Minneapolis area. He said 2,000 agents would remain and that he aimed to cut their presence in the city to its level before Operation Metro Surge began in December. So in other words, they're withdrawing about a third of the force and they're going to draw down the rest of it later. So it's graduated, but they're getting rid of everybody eventually. In the interview, Trump insisted that the operations were highly targeted at criminals. He said, quote, we are totally focused on criminals, really bad criminals. He also said he was not happy with the fatal shootings of Alex Preddy and Renee Good. He said he was not an angel. She was not an angel. You look at some tapes, but still, I'm not happy with what happened there. He said it should not have happened. It was very sad to me. Two very sad incidents. During a news conference on Wednesday, Border Czar Holman said that U.S. government had made providing body-worn cameras to all officers in Minneapolis a priority and was planning to deploy the equipment to agents across the country. Holman acknowledged it was not a perfect operation and said it had become more streamlined with an established unified chain of command. Meanwhile, the White House stood by Trump advisor Stephen Miller amid a report that cracks had formed in Trump's relationship with the immigration hawk. The U.S. president told aides he was not comfortable with how far Miller had gone on the issue on some fronts, said the Wall Street Journal. So let's back it up a little bit, okay? Let's back up the timeline. I really want to give you the full timeline here. I want to go all the way back. I want to go all the way back actually to January 2025. Do you remember in January 2025, a week before the inauguration, Tom Holman, our tough as nails border czar that looks like a medieval brute. Remember those memes? Tom Holman got up and smugly and proudly said, day one, we are doing immigration raids. We are starting mass deportations. If you're an illegal, go home because we're going to deport you. Remember that? Remember that? For 2 weeks leading up to the inauguration, this is how it started. They said, pack your bags. You have 14 days. Everybody's going home. If you're illegal, you're going home. I'm coming to Chicago. I don't care what the mayor says. The mass deportations start on day one. Anybody remember what happened on day one? No immigration raids. Nothing. They didn't do anything. They canceled them. They canceled them. On January 20th, there were no raids. And Tom Holman got on TV and said, oh, well, our operational security was compromised because the illegals caught wind. We were going to do it. So to keep everybody safe, we had to postpone it. He got compromised. Maybe it's because you were telling everybody it was going to happen for 2 weeks. It didn't happen on day one. This is how it starts. You think I started this life yesterday, kid? That's how it starts. They make a promise. They say it's going to happen on this day. They don't do it. That's only the beginning. That's always how it starts. Day two, you had the DHS press account on Twitter, the White House press account on Twitter. They started posting their daily number of arrests. Anybody remember that second day total of illegal immigration arrests? It's about 306. 306 illegal immigrants. It's nothing. Day two, same thing. They kept chugging along for a couple weeks. They got it up to 1,500. Then it kept coming down again. Then it fell below 1,000. Then they stopped posting the numbers. We never heard about it again. And ICE and DHS stopped posting the figures. Remember that? That's how it started. And as the months went on, it was clear that they were not even arresting 1,000 people per day. And do the quick math. If you're arresting 1,000 per day, that's 365,000 per year, obviously. 365 days in a year, 1,000 arrests a day, 365,000 arrests per year. Well, if 10 million illegals came in under Biden, that means that 2.5 million were coming in every single year. So if for 4 years you had 2.5 million entering, and in the next 4 years you only have 365,000 leaving, what does that give you? It means you're operating at a deficit of 2.2 million per year, which is still an astronomical figure. So even if you get them up to 1 million per year, 2 million per year, you're still not even getting rid of the illegals that came in under Biden. Huge problem. So the days and months go on. January, February, March, April, May, and these arrest numbers are not going up at all. They're not even getting up past 1,000, 1,500. It's just not there. And so people are recognizing these mass deportations are not happening. So what was the excuse? Well, they said, and in fairness, there's some truth to this. They said that, well, we really don't have the resources to do a mass deportation. We don't have enough ICE agents. We don't have enough detention space. Even if we wanted to arrest 1 million people per year, we don't have enough ICE agents to do it. We don't have enough detention facilities to hold the people while we ship them out. So they said, we need to pass this big, beautiful bill. We need to pass this huge corporate tax cut. We need to pass this AI regulation moratorium. We need to cut Medicaid by $800 billion. We have to do all this pork barrel spending, all this other crap, in order to get an $80 billion ICE budget. Then we could start deporting people. Do you remember what happened the day that they passed that bill, which was supposed to fix these problems and get us on track for deportations? The very same day that that bill passed the House using budget reconciliation, Trump went to a rally and he said, and I quote, "We need the people." He said, and he indicated, "We will not be deporting illegal immigrants from job sites, farms, hospitality, restaurants, construction." He said, and the radical right won't be happy about it, but they'll be okay with it. The signs were there. This is always how it goes. Deportations on day one. I meant day two. Day two, 300 arrests. Well, hey, we're getting them up. They never go up. Well, we just need the money. Here's the money. Oh, well, we're not going to deport all the workers, actually. Okay. So then you move on and you see what is happening in these cities. Trump is deploying ICE to Los Angeles and National Guard. Trump is deploying ICE to Chicago with National Guard. And what is happening in the summer and fall in these cities? It's a war. Because even though ICE is not arresting a lot of people, how are they doing it? They're doing it in a highly visible and provocative way. What do I mean by this? You have like 100 ICE agents performing a raid on one apartment building and they make 12 arrests. So you got hundreds of agents. They bring in helicopters. They come in with tactical vests like a SWAT team. And they get 12 people. Then they post a hype edit about it on TikTok. And they're posting hype edits on TikTok all summer with Theo Von, with Sabrina Carpenter. And they have, and they're really like challenging people to have a problem with this. They're daring people to be offended. They're showing you these images of illegals being thrown out, and they're sort of daring you to be sympathetic. And that, in fairness, they are making mistakes. They're undisciplined. They're going up to people and asking them, "Hey, are you a citizen?" they're getting a little handsy, pushing and shoving people. It's not a great look. And so they're going into LA and they're going into Chicago, and you start to have this asymmetry of results and perception. In the minds of the public and the media, this is an extremely aggressive deportation policy. In their minds, this is like an Orwellian, dystopian, totalitarian takeover. Families are being kidnapped. It's like the Hunger Games. This is like the Capitol. It's like Gestapo all over again. In reality, very few people are even being arrested. Now, why is the Trump administration deliberately creating this perception? It's because they really have no intention of doing mass deportations. They both lack the competence to actually see it through, and also they lack the will. They don't really want to do it. Because to actually deport millions of people, you're going to hurt the bottom line of Wall Street, Silicon Valley, big agriculture, and other industries. So they don't want to do it. Even if they wanted to do it, they are not competent enough to achieve it. So in order to satisfy the base and keep the base happy, they are creating this perception, substituting cruelty and attitude and style for substance and results in order to feed the base and get the base thinking that they're doing something. In the process, they are antagonizing and provoking the left. And what this does is, in a word, it activates the left. The left accepts the challenge and they rally behind the issue. And the left, which was disorganized and demoralized and despairing, they are now resurgent. And now they have consolidated and they found their issue. And now in LA, they're rioting. And the riots aren't a good look, but they force Trump to back down. And in Chicago, they're fighting ICE agents and they're rioting outside the detention facility. And there are terrorist attacks happening against ICE in Portland and Texas. And slowly but surely, there is this escalation in violence. The left is getting emboldened. They see the provocation and they're getting angry. Mission accomplished. You're antagonizing them. They're getting pissed off. They're organizing. They're networking. They're meeting in Signal group chats. These progressive cells, Antifa, communists, DSA, they're being funded by the far left. Their signs, their posters, the meetups they're organizing on Facebook, they're getting together. And not only that, but they're getting more and more violent because they see that ICE is kind of a joke. They see what they're able to get away with. They see how if they just show up, they're able to overwhelm ICE. They're chasing them through the streets, blowing their whistles, surrounding ICE agents, ICE leadership. And I told you last year, I said, you have to do one of two things. Either you don't even attempt this and you just let the sleeping dogs lie, or if you want to fight the left, you need to crush them and overwhelm them. You have to make it known that if they try to resist, they will be destroyed. Otherwise, you are feeding this tit-for-tat cycle of escalation. You go to a city and make some arrests, so they box in an ICE agent. You send in the National Guard to beat those people up. They send in an army of protesters to push back the National Guard. You're just giving it oxygen to breathe. You're giving them the optimism and the hope that they can actually defeat ICE and overcome ICE, that ICE is not actually going to win the game of chicken. So then that brings us to Minneapolis. And I told you last year, inevitably, you're going to get this brutal confrontation. And here it is. In Minneapolis, it starts to get really contentious and really ugly. And people are turning against ICE. They're turning against the policy. People are seeing the chaos in the streets and they want it to stop. Now, even before the new year, even before 2026, the polling started to turn against ICE and the immigration enforcement policy. And there was already some second guessing inside the administration into the first week of January. I told you there was a report out in Axios in the first week of January that said that Trump and his team were having second thoughts. They wanted to change the strategy. They wanted to recalibrate. They think it's becoming unpopular. Republicans are pushing back because they're worried about the midterms. Again, this is how this year started. Then Renee Good got shot. Renee Good gets shot. Alex Preddy gets shot. What happens in the aftermath of these shootings? It is just a cascading series of concessions, death by a thousand cuts. Trump gets up in a press conference and says, we're only deporting criminal illegals, not these poor people that have been here for 20 years working hard. Tom Holman goes into the city and he says, we've been making all these mistakes. We have all these problems. Bovino gets pulled out of the city. It's the first scalp for the left. They hated this guy. He was the face of enforcement. And the Trump administration pulled the rug out from under him. They ordered him to leave the city. And they sent in Tom Holman to do cleanup crew. Then Tom Holman gets up at a press conference and is undercutting his own squad. He's telling everybody that ICE made a lot of mistakes and they don't always get it right. And we're going to discipline everybody that didn't get it right and all this kind of stuff. He starts talking about a drawdown. He says, we're going to draw down the number of ICE agents in the city. And if they would just cooperate, then we'll leave. Then Kristi Noem last week said, we're going to get everybody to wear body cameras, first in Minnesota, then everywhere else. Stephen Miller starts playing the blame game. He said, I only called Alex Preddy a terrorist because that's what DHS said. And I told Kristi Noem that we need to change the rules of engagement, and she didn't listen. This is how it goes. And now, at long last, we have this series of developments today. Trump says in an interview a few things which are really interesting. He says that those protesters shouldn't have died. He says we need a softer touch. He says we're only going after the criminals, not the regular illegals anymore. And Tom Holman says we're withdrawing 700 people and we're going to withdraw even more. And he says basically our operation was flawed. This is a complete and total capitulation. And it's not hard to see why this is a problem. If you want to deport a million people per year, which is what you would need to do to get anything resembling a mass deportation, you need actually to increase the presence of law enforcement, not decrease. You want to deport a million people per year? You need to double, triple, quadruple the number of people that you're arresting and deporting. So that means you're going to need more ICE agents. It's going to need to be more visible, more provocative. Talk about, you know, they're saying we need targeted enforcement. No, you're going to need to sweep neighborhoods. You're going to need patrols. You're going to need to do more Minneapolis-style operations if you want to get a mass deportation. So if they come out and they say, well, we're withdrawing, well, that indicates first and foremost, they will be deporting fewer people, not more. But it's also a surrender. You tried to do this policy in Minneapolis. The left fought back. They tried to kill your people, and they died in the process. And now you undercut your own law enforcement operatives by throwing them under the bus. Trump says that Bovino is an out there guy. He's too tough, saying we need to be softer. Softer? You're staring down an angry mob, and you're on TV saying we need to be softer? This is not the Trump that I know. This is not the Trump from the election who's all fire breathing and intensity. Trump says in the face of this mob trying to get him to back down, he says we need to be soft. And Bovino is out there and he needs to relax. They throw their own guys under the bus saying we're not perfect and this is a mistake that these people were killed. You send your commander out of the city. You reduce the troop size by a third. And in the end, they change the policy. We had a statement from Border Patrol, according to Nick Sorter. Two Border Patrol agents confirmed they're no longer doing patrols. They're now only doing precise, targeted enforcement. meaning they're not going to be driving around the city looking for illegals. They're going to be looking and working with the police for the criminals and only arresting those people, which necessarily is going to mean far fewer arrests because there are far fewer criminal illegals than illegals. You could deport all the criminals and you're still going to have millions and millions and millions of illegals. So that's a much smaller group and it's a much more narrow net to cast. It can't possibly go up. It can't even possibly stay the same. It's necessarily going to go down. And the number of arrests and the presence of law enforcement and the strength of the tactics, it's all decreasing after the left forced their hand. The left vetoed the policy. Trump tried, Bovino tried, Holman tried, Stephen Miller tried, and the left came in and they shut it down. They vetoed it. They created so much pain and so much unpleasantness. They created such a controversy that they made it impossible for the administration to continue. All the media coverage that was generated, all the outrage, and now Trump was forced to back down. But let's be clear also about some of the pressures that are going against Trump. It's not just coming from the left. Think about the logic here. Why does Trump have to shut it down? Why is he particularly sensitive? Because it's a midterm election year. Republicans have a 3 or 4 seat majority. Democrats are favored to win the House 83% on Polymarket. And historically, the incumbent party always loses House, or always loses seats in the House during the midterms. So if you have a small majority and you're almost certainly going to lose seats, that means you're almost certainly going to lose the House. And this is going to be catastrophic. It means impeachment. It means a divided government. It means you're never going to pass any legislation. It's going to create a ton of problems. So Trump is acutely aware of this. And even more so, the Republican conference, the Republican members of the House and the Senate are aware of this. And so certainly, as the media does wall-to-wall coverage of these atrocities, Republican congressmen are freaking out and they're calling the White House and saying, hey, man, we want to win the midterms. You got to stop this policy. And so are the businesses. The Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, which represents Target and some of the other major businesses in the city that are being affected by this, the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, representing the business interest, they put out a statement and said, we need to de-escalate. We need to shut it down. And of course, Trump needs to obey the donors because he works for Wall Street. He works for the business interests. He works for the Chamber of Commerce. And this is exactly how I said it would go a couple of years ago in 2024. I mean, really. I posted a clip today from November of 2024, and I said precisely this. I said they're going to try to do mass deportations. They will try until 2026 at the latest. I said, and then what is going to happen is the left is going to push back. There's going to be bad media coverage. I said, Trump is going to cave. And not only is he going to cave, but he's going to try to retcon it. He's going to try to finesse it. And he's going to rebrand. And he'll say, mass deportations? I never promised mass deportations. What I always meant was self-deportations. What I always promised was deportations of criminal illegal aliens. Because that is what Trump does. He overpromises, he underdelivers, and then he gaslights and convinces you that he is doing what he always promised to do. And there's a few clips like that. There's a clip of me in a Twitter space from years ago where I said, it's scary. In 2024, I said, Trump is going to try to do deportations. I said, you're going to get wall-to-wall coverage, calling it the Gestapo. I said, you'll get color revolution tactics from the left. I said, then Trump is going to call up Stephen Miller and says, Stephen, we can't keep doing this, and they're going to shut it down. That is literally exactly how it played out. They tried it. The media hyped it up. You get the color revolution stuff. And then literally, this is from Wall Street Journal, you have Trump admonishing Stephen Miller, telling him we have to walk the policy back. telling the White House we need to focus on criminals only, not the other illegals. That's how we're going to win public opinion back. And it was so obvious that that is how it would go. Now, a lot of people are saying that. A lot of people are saying, well, anyone could have predicted that. Well, maybe anyone could have predicted that, but nobody did. Nobody did, because I was there in 2024. And you know what they said in 2024? They said, we don't need to scrutinize what Trump does or says, because they held up these placards at the RNC that said mass deportations. And that's good enough for me. Yeah, I suppose anyone could have made that prediction. It's just that nobody did. And if they did, nobody said it out loud. Why? Because nobody was on board with that back then. Everybody was drinking the Kool-Aid. Candace Owens was pro-Trump. Tucker Carlson was pro-Trump. All these people were pro-Trump. Nobody would deign to criticize him or threaten not to vote for him over something like this, but I did. And I said precisely how it would happen. Now, why do I say this? Because even to this day, you have paid Republican operatives trying to convince you that this isn't happening. I saw somebody post today that when Trump tells NBC that we're not doing mass deportations, I saw somebody say on Twitter, well, he's just lying. So Border Patrol says we're not doing mass deportations. The numbers say we're not doing mass deportations. Border Patrol and ICE and DHS say we're not doing mass deportations. The president says we're not doing it anymore. What do the Republican shills say? They say, he doesn't mean that. He's just lying. He doesn't mean that. It reminds me of that scene in Taxi Driver when Robert De Niro says to the hooker, he says, you know what the pimp says about you? He says disgusting things about you. And she goes, he would never say that. He wouldn't say that about me. It's like, you're literally a cuck. You're literally a cheap whore. You are like a stupid whore and a cheap whore at that. You're barely even getting paid. And I know, because I know how much you're getting paid. I literally see Republican shills saying, oh, Trump said we're only deporting the criminals. He doesn't mean that. He doesn't mean that. He's going to deport them. He just has to say that. I saw some doofus say, well, he's interviewing with NBC. That's liberal media. Of course he's going to say that to the liberal media. Aren't you guys tired? I mean, seriously, haven't you guys had enough of being disappointed, of being humiliated, of being let down, of having to carry water for the... Aren't you tired of all that? Seriously. Because I remember in 2024, when Trump and Vance separately were asked about mass deportations, they were saying the same stuff then that they are now. They were asked, how will you specifically deport tens of millions of people? And they said, we're going to focus on the criminals first, and then we'll worry about everybody else later. Go back, play the tape, find it. I'll wait. They were saying that during the election, and I tried to tell you. I mean, I played the clip on my show. I said, watch. I said, when they say they're going to prioritize criminals, that means they're not deporting anybody else. I said, and that means they're not serious. They're not going to deport even 500,000 people per year. And it took everybody else 2 years to figure it out when they're actually saying it. And let me tell you why this is happening. This is happening because at the end of the day, okay, let me be clear. Let me do the politician thing. Let me be clear. Are you paying attention? Are you listening? Hello? This is the most important thing you're going to hear. The Republican Party is not against immigration, and they never have been. You need to get that through your head. The Republican Party and their donors, and therefore their think tanks and politicians and magazines, They are not against immigration, and they never have been. Would you like to know why? Because the business interests that fund the Republican movement profit from foreign labor. It's that simple. Who is hiring all these illegal aliens? Big farms, meat processing plants, meat packing plants, hotels, restaurants, the rest of it. Now, who owns those companies? It's the big asset managers. It's the banks. It's BlackRock. It's Vanguard. It's JP Morgan. Okay? It's asset managers. It's banks. Do you know that Trump received $200 million from Timothy Mellon in 2024, a banker? Why do you think he got all that money? You know that he received $275 million from Elon Musk? Why do you think he got that money? Who is employing all the cheap labor? It's the business interests. Businesses employ employees. Businesses profit from cheaper labor, from lower wages. That is why the business interests want the cheapest labor possible. That's why they want the most laborers inside our borders. So that's why Reagan gave 3 million illegal aliens amnesty and didn't secure the border. That's why Reagan's successor, George Bush, doubled the amount of immigration, expanded virtually every category of immigration with the 1990 Immigration Act. Reagan gave them amnesty in 86 and turned California blue forever. George Bush gave us the 1990 Immigration Act. Just Google it. They virtually doubled every kind of immigration, chain migration. They created H-1Bs, the visa lottery, expanded the number of refugees. It all went up because the Chamber of Commerce wanted it. George W. Bush was soft on this stuff. Jeb Bush said illegals come here out of love. Gang of Eight, Lindsey Graham, Rubio, these guys, they wanted to give amnesty for illegals, and they always have. Now, here's the rub. Under Trump, the Republican Party is smart enough to pander to its nativist base. Most people that vote Republican are white, by far. There is a higher proportion of white people voting Republican than there is of white people voting Democrat. About 57% of Democrat voters are white. About 80% of Republican voters are white. And Trump knows the Republican base. So he panders to them. This has been a winning issue for 25 years. English only and building a border wall and mass deportations and cracking down on foreign labor. All of this has been popular for a quarter of a century. And so Trump, as a good politician, leaned into this issue. It's a gold mine. But then once Trump won, he became another Republican. And he was governed by the same political constraints, the same capture by the business interests as every other Republican. And the mistake that the voters are making is they're listening too much to what the president says, and they're not paying close enough attention to who the president owes. That's the difference. So in 2024, people said, hey, but Trump's rhetoric is great. Hey, but hasn't the conversation changed so much? Haven't we come so far in terms of how we're able to talk about the issue? Yeah, okay, well, that and a dollar will buy you a cup of coffee, okay? I was on Tim Pool debating it with one of these Trump guys, and he goes, but the conversation has changed. Don't you realize we're able to talk candidly about the issue? I go, yeah, well, you know, your ability to speak about this and this metapolitical victory of moving the Overton window, you know, that's all bullshit. That's not real. You could take all your metapolitical victories and you could put them in a bag, and that and a dollar will buy you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. It's worth nothing. You know what I want? I want my border wall. You know, I want my 30-foot, 2,000-mile-long concrete fucking border wall. You know, what did he say in 2016? Does anybody even remember? Seriously. Think about how much you've been gaslit. Do you even remember that when Trump ran in 2015, 11 years ago, he said, we're going to build a big, tall, powerful, impenetrable border wall and Mexico will pay for it. Does anyone even remember that? Do you even remember? Remember, we're going to build a wall. Mexico will pay for that wall. The wall just got 10 feet higher. How are you going to get them to pay for it? I'm great at deals. People don't even, so many promises broken and forgotten. We don't even remember all of them. Trump was synonymous with border wall. Now people don't even know. They don't even remember. It's not there. It doesn't exist. We got 83 miles of 18-foot steel bollard fencing. He promised us 2,000 miles of 30-foot tall concrete wall. Okay, we played this game. Trump said in 2016, I'm gonna build the wall and Mexico will pay for the wall. And it never happened because Republicans disobeyed him. They didn't give him the funding. They didn't follow through on it. And in the end, it's because they really didn't want to control illegal immigration. So they put together this Nicky Knack Remain in Mexico executive order architecture. And Biden undid it on day one with an executive order. And then we got 10 million illegals. Trump once again is swept into office by this groundswell of opposition to illegal immigration. He promises mass deportations. We're going to kick them all out. Pack your bags. You got 30 days. And they didn't even deport as many people as Obama in his first year in office. And they're already walking it back because they don't really want to deport all these illegals. You were tricked. People say, this isn't what I voted for. Yeah, it fucking is. This is exactly what you voted for, you idiot. It was obvious. Trump and Vance were both saying this throughout 2024. Throughout 2024, the election, Trump said, we need the people. We need to let them come in. We need the people. We need them to work certain jobs. He promised David Sacks, I will staple green cards to diplomas. Whenever they were asked about the deportations, they would say, we're prioritizing criminals. We'll worry about everybody else later. It was clear as day. It was in black and white. It was obvious. You just did not want to listen because you wanted to believe. You were so caught up, so emotional, so involved in the groupthink, you didn't want to listen. You didn't want to see it. It was right in front of you, smacking you in the face. You didn't want to see it. And it was right in front of you all throughout last year. Well, now look at where we are. Looky where we are now. It's 2026 and it's already too late. It's the midterms. They are going to redistrict Virginia and Republicans are going to lose 4 seats from that alone. And we're going to get slaughtered. So you think now there's going to be a big push for mass deportations? Good luck. You can't deport 750 people per day without getting riots and protests and body cameras and they're defunding the fucking police over it. You're going to quadruple those numbers in a midterm and what, the media is not going to catch it on camera and you're not going to get any more dead communists to cry over? Forget it. And what do you think is going to happen when the Republicans lose the midterms? Not if, but when the Republicans lose the midterms. What do you think's going to happen? Well, you're going to get a lame duck from November to January. And then in January 2027, when the new Congress is seated, they will not fund DHS. They will not fund the government until we defund ICE. They're doing it already. They're showing us. We had the longest government shutdown in history last fall over a symbolic provision about healthcare credits, which they didn't even get. They just wanted to be uncooperative. Now we're getting another partial government shutdown of DHS because Democrats want to force restrictions on ICE. That is when they are in the minority in both chambers. What happens when they have a majority in the House? They're going to shut down the government all the time. They're going to impeach everybody, investigate everybody. The work of this administration will grind to a halt because they will be distracted. They will be out of energy. Their personnel will be involved in this. They will not be able to get anything through Congress. And if anything, Congress will impose restraints on everything that they do legislatively. So you think you're getting it in 2026? Not going to happen. You think you're going to get it in 2027 when the Democrats have half of the divided government? Not going to happen. 2028? Who even fucking cares at that point? And I told you it would be like this. Now all the Republicans are already saying, well, hey, everybody, let's get everything back on track in 26. Get it back on track. This is supposed to be the golden age. Huh? You know, 2016, we're going to make America great again. 2018, hey, we need more seats in the House. 2020, we got to keep America great and, you know, like finish the wall and stuff. 2022, we got to hold the line, stop the Democrats in their tracks. 2024, all right, this time a golden age, this time for real. 2026, well, nevertheless, we got to get them back on track. Another vote. Imagine still playing this game. Dude, fuck these people. Fuck this administration. People say, you want to burn it all down? Yeah, I do. People say, you want to burn it all down just so you could rule over the ashes. See, you don't seem to have much of an imagination. I want to burn you to the ground. You will be turned into ashes. We will still be very much intact. People say, he just wants to burn it all down so he could rule over the ashes and whatever's left. No, you got it wrong. We want to burn you to the ground. We want to burn the Republican Party to the ground. That's not us. We want to burn you and this administration and all these criminals that are stealing from the government, all the liars that made false promises, all these people that buried the files, brought us to war in Iran, failed on deportations. We want to burn you to the ground. We want to destroy your careers. We want to primary you. We want to fire you. And then we want to build a different party. Anything would be better than this. You have had your chance in 16, 18, 20, 22, 24. Now they want another vote in 26. They think they got us on lock in 2028. Let's try something different. Let's fire you. Let's burn you to the ground. And maybe this time you're going to be the sucker. Because every time we go and vote, you get privileges. You get patronage, contracts. You get to skim. You get to graft off of the movement. And we get fucked. We get 600,000 Chinese students. We get 130,000 H-1B Indians. We get another $20 billion to Israel. We get 230,000 deportations. Maybe it's your turn to get fucked. You've been burning us to the ground for 35 years. You burned us to the ground in 86 with the amnesty, in 1990 with the Immigration Act. In 2003 with the war in Iraq, in 2008 with the bailout, in 2018 when you couldn't cough up $1.3 billion for a border wall, you've been burning the country to the ground. Maybe it's time for you to burn to the ground. And I would gladly rule over whatever is left after that. Gladly. Better than this. So they're always saying that, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to burn it all down? Yeah, I think I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to burn down everybody that isn't Thomas Massie. End of list. I'm ready to burn down every Republican that has been complicit in this. Stephen Miller is retweeting Lindsey Graham. Wake up. Hello. Stephen Miller is retweeting Lindsey Graham. And by the way, if Stephen Miller and J.D. Vance were so fucking great, then why can't they get the job done, huh? All the hype, all this propaganda on Twitter, all of this paid influencing campaigns to promote Stephen Miller and J.D. Vance. Hey, if they're so great, why can't they get the job done? Trump is 100 years old. What is their excuse? Trump is 90. He's falling asleep in meetings. He's obviously out to lunch. What is their excuse? Isn't Miller supposed to be our base Jew? Isn't Vance supposed to be our base Halo, Code Red, Mountain Dew drinking savior? Where are they? They say, trust the plan, trust in Miller, trust in Vance. They'll get it done. Really? Well, where are they? We're going to vote for them in 2028. What are they going to do then that they can't do now? You are there now. You're in the White House now. You could make the change right now. If you can't, you got no business being there. If you won't, then you should have never been there in the first place. Either way, people say, we're going to need Vance to, you know, keep up the good work. Dude, it's a joke. It's a disaster. And here's going to be the delicious irony, and I can't wait for this. Peter Thiel and Little Tech and CIA Tucker Carlson with the CIA daddy, Dick Carlson, that ran Voice of America, that is in bed with Hungary and Israel-backed NGOs. Yeah, Tucker Carlson, who's hanging out in the Gulf. Tucker, who's hanging out in Russia. Tucker's best friend, J.D. Vance. Peter Thiel's sugar baby. They thought that by putting him in the sidecar for Trump was going to guarantee his ascension in 2028. I'm sure that when Trump tapped him to be the VP in 2024, they were clinking their glasses and saying cheers to the 48th president of the United States, our puppet J.D. Vance. What they didn't count on is that Trump ruins everything that he touches. They thought that Trump would be a Trojan horse. Trump would be a vehicle to propel Vance. Trump is Vance's tomb. Trump, and this second term, this is J.D. Vance's mausoleum. This is where J.D. Vance for president went to fucking die. Maybe, arguably, he could have been a contender if he was in the Senate for a little while longer, built up his record, maybe put some time in, maybe did some actual work. They really thought they were going to put him next to Trump, and this was going to be his Disney fast pass to the presidency, and then they could get all their contracts for Anduril and SpaceX and OpenAI and Palantir and all that garbage. Israel would get their bombs. They would get everything that they wanted, their charter city in Greenland and wherever. And instead, Trump is an albatross. He is dragging Vance to hell with him. The failure, the vaporware, the scam that is Trumpism, it is dragging J.D. Vance right to hell with this whole sick fucking thing. And that is the most delicious irony of it all. That's the best part of the whole thing. It's going to be a long ways to go. We got a lot of game left to get to 2028, and it's not getting better. One disaster after the next. No mass deportations. This big, beautiful bill, which is so unpopular and a disaster. This AI regulation moratorium they keep trying to force. All these Chinese students, Indian H-1B workers. Bombing Iran, not once, but twice. Ukraine war still going on. The job market's terrible. Software industry is taking a dive. Bitcoin is down 50%. Epstein files have exposed all your cronies, Howard Lutnick and Peter Thiel and Reid Hoffman and the Israelis and Trump and the rest of them. and it's only February 2026. We got a long ways to go. You know what I can't wait for? I cannot wait for the Democrats to take the House. They subpoena and investigate Kristi Noem, Lauren, and Corey Lewandowski, and they find so much corruption. It's going to make the impeachments during Trump 1 look like a joke. All that stuff about Paul Manafort and the business documents and the Ukrainian phone call. The corruption that they will discover when the Democrats are in the House, it's going to make all that stuff look like a joke. And they're just going to keep stacking it up on top of Vance. We're going to be in our war with Iran. The Middle East is going to be a mess. The economy is going to be a mess. The Trump administration is corrupt. He might even be impeached. You are fucked. And we are not going to bail you out. Sorry. 2026, I'm telling people to stay home. You know what my message is in 2026? Stay home. We got to vote to get back on track. Fuck you. And the guy that posted it, I like the guy. It's not directed at him, but that sentiment, we got to get everybody back on track. Go fuck yourself. You told us when we wanted the Epstein files, we don't need your votes anymore. Hey, wish granted. Remember that? Remember in July of 2025 when Trump said, if you want the Epstein files, you're not a real supporter. I don't want your vote. Hey, wish granted, pal. Wish granted. You wanted it. You got it. Fuck you. You want to get it back on track? Good luck. Call Netanyahu. That's the part that I love. They sell us out. H-1B visas galore. Student visas galore. No mass deportations. Burying the Epstein files. I think Bill Clinton's a great guy. And then in 26, they're going to be begging us for the vote. Hey, guys, we need your help. You know, President Trump needs more seats to keep the agenda going. You know what I have to say about that? You're worried about your majority in 2026. You're worried about losing the House. Why don't you ask Bill Clinton for his vote then? Ask Bill Clinton. Ask those 600,000 Chinese students. Ask the H-1B workers. Ask the Israelis. Ask Netanyahu for a vote. He gave Netanyahu $20 billion. Ask him to vote for you. You gave Wall Street the corporate tax cut extension. Why don't you ask them for the vote? You know, ask them. Go and bother them with your campaign ads. Don't bother us because we still have illegal immigrants in our cities. We still have rampant crime in our cities. The job market still sucks. We're not richer. Our purchasing power has not increased. Go ask somebody else because we are not interested. We do want to burn it all down. Correct. You don't want our vote? Wish granted. You're not getting it this time. 2028, if you can feel the candidate that is America first, if you can feel the candidate that is not a fat, disgusting pig, if you can feel the candidate that is like MAGA, OG, America first, consider it, maybe. But not in 26. We're done with that. So that's your immigration situation. I saw Ramsey Paul, that old beta male. Ramsey Paul says, I didn't vote for this. In 2024, he was chastising me for not voting for Trump. You literally voted for this. And you were attacking anybody that didn't. This is exactly what you voted for. So congrats, everybody. And anyone that was a real follower of mine, anybody that was actually loyal, anyone that actually trusts me and my record and my judgment, you have the moral high ground of not having fallen for this. I think I got a pretty good record. I told people not to get vaccinated. I told people not to vote for Trump. Pretty good record, huh? Wouldn't you say? But some of you, you know, you didn't trust my plan. You trusted Trump's plan. Now you look like an idiot. You participated in your own demise. You fell for it. You didn't listen. I was making the arguments. I was showing you the evidence. You didn't listen because you're a dummy. You thought you knew better. You got captured by emotion, sentiment, propaganda. That is what it is. We're going to move on. We're going to take a look at our super chats. We'll cover the Iran stuff tomorrow or maybe Monday, I guess. We're going to take a look. We'll see what you guys have to say about all this. That's all I really have to say. It's just incredible how people deceive themselves, you know? It's amazing. Because as I said, all of this, it was obvious from the very beginning, and I spelled it out from the very beginning. There was no really good counter argument, but people just went with it. They just didn't think that far ahead. It's not complicated. Like, this stuff is really, once you get a sense of it, it's pretty easy to understand. And even if you can't come up with it on your own, I do a pretty good job of breaking it down. People just didn't want to hear it. So they said, oh, well, you know, I'm a plan truster and you're disloyal. And okay. Hey, suit yourself. You want to live in fantasy land? You want to pretend it's like 2018 still? This like loyalty to Trump thing? Okay. Good luck.